Welcome to Campfire Stories, a podcast for sharing stories of Salesforce trailblazers.
Wow. Okay, Melissa, welcome back to the campfire. It has been a while.
Hey, Stacy, glad to be here. It has been a while.
Right. I posted something on Twitter, I think, about reigniting the fire, which is what we're aiming to do today. So, my goodness, you've had a busy year. It's March, the end of March right now, but you got to go to TDX, yeah?
I did. TDX was great. So much fun to be there and to see everybody. And as always, they shortened everything, right? Like Dreamforce last year was a day shorter. Mm-hmm. Still did every bit of as much. Well, TDX was the same way, although it was my first time to ever go to TDX after all these years in the ecosystem. But it was shorter. It was 2 days instead of 3 days. And so everything was crammed in even more.
So I'd heard for Dreamforce, I've never been to a TDX, but I've heard for Dreamforce, it used to be 3.5 days. It would usually end that last day around noon, 1 o'clock. And so apparently they got some feedback that that was not conducive to folks' travel schedules. And so they changed it to whole days only by request. So I did feel it at Dreamforce that it felt shortened. And there's so much you want to do and so many people you want to see. It's making all the connections and getting all the learning and going to some of those luminary, thought-provoking speakers. And then also trying to connect and make new friends and tired just thinking about it and yet also excited for that next event.
I know. Well, and so I know there are people on their way or already there in Sevilla, Spain, for Dreamole right now. And so, the FOMO is real, especially for someone who traveled as much as I did last year. But it's okay.
You did get around. I did. My first event this year will actually be DC World Tour next month, so April 19th. And I'm excited. Yancey and I both are going to go, and we're both going to be campfire speakers. Not together. He's got a Salesforce military session, and I have one on job seekers. So I'm excited.
Excellent. So Mitch and I are both going to Chicago. Not that he'll be speaking, but I'll be presenting at DevOps Streaming.
Awesome.
So, excited to be in Chicago and with that whole crew. And I hope they won't all be in D.C.
Oh, I see a lot of people heading to DevOps also. So I guess that's why there's so many events, is so that there's a place for everyone to go and get to, whether you're regionally attending or jet setting across the globe like you've done before. Awesome. Well, Melissa, we are joined today with a longtime friend of the Stancy household. Actually, I am really excited to introduce, welcome to the campfire, Christian Estevez. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Stacy and Melissa. It's great to be here with awesome, amazing host.
Thank you, Christian. You're somebody who does the Dreamin' events. We've seen you at a couple of different ones through the years. Actually, I think it was Florida Dreamin' where we first met, right?
Florida Dreamin' is exactly where we first met. I saw Stacy Cogswell's name. I was like, wait, I listen to Campfire Stories.
Yes, but I think that's where I first met Melissa in person also, is at Florida Dreamin'.
What year was that? Was that 2018?
18, maybe?
I think it was 18.
I think so, too. Gosh, that's been a long time ago.
Very cool. And Florida Dreamin' is one event that Yancey and I already have our tickets and hotel booked for. So we will be at Florida Dreamin' this October also. Christian, we better see you there.
I'll see what I can do.
It's like in your backyard, right?
Almost, but they've moved it this year. So this year it's in Clearwater. Right? Instead of in Orlando. Yep. And it's been in Orlando in the past.
Yeah.
So they've got a bigger venue, bigger space.
Near the beach.
Really excited.
I did look into that. The location is a lot nicer than Orlando.
So if it's on the beach, do you think we'll be able to get an actual campfire to sit around and chat at? Huh? Could be fun. So Christian, I posted on Twitter because I cannot keep my mouth shut about anything. I get really excited. So I posted on Twitter that I was really excited about Campfire Stories recording this evening. And a few folks like Dresh asked for some hints. And so I said that this trailblazer lives in Florida. And then I guess some people thought Ingen Utkon. And so they asked, oh, is this trailblazer a Flownatic? And I thought, you know, I really don't know. Christian, are you a Flownatic?
I am passionate about flows. I do love flows.
I'll have to tell Rob Gow. I have an answer to his question now.
Good. I have a flow we need to build. I just, Michelle Hansen actually helped me with one that was a one-time flow to update data. Mm-hmm. So that going forward, you know, it would update itself, but to update all the back data and fill in those holes. And I'm like, okay, she was brilliant and I did it and I have no idea how. So now I need to do it again. And and I have to remember.
That's awesome. You know, I think I have done single digit number of flows in my career, which is I moved into being a product owner and then into management. And while I stay up to date on the things that Flow can do, I'm not hands-on building them anymore. So it's a weird feeling to not be hands in the org anymore.
Stacy, you have grown into the blazer. This was a conversation we had at TDX about when you reach that point where, I mean, the hoodie's great, right? We love our hoodies. But what happens when you grow your career to the point where the hoodie's not necessarily appropriate anymore? You know, that you really are a trail blazer instead of a trailblazer hoodie to wear, right? So that's it, because you are. Now you're the boss lady and you're in charge and you have to set yourself apart and present that, you know, adulting thing.
Things I must learn. I need to learn how to adult.
My son is. Do you do that, Christian, with men? I mean, it's, you know, it's like they may wear the community t-shirt, but they've got the blazer on over it. You know, they're not wearing a hoodie because they're the CEO or the CFO or the C-suite guys, you know, it's a little bit different dress than the developers or the admins or the, and I don't know that people need to be set apart, but when you're working with clients or other people on that same level, you kind of tend to dress like they do, right?
Definitely. You need that blazer when you're in front of the clients.
An interesting concept. Janine Markart. Who was talking to me about that. So we need an upgraded hoodie, more blazer cut. Yeah.
Blazer with a hoodie.
Right.
I like that. You just need a blazer that says Trailblazer that still has the insignia right. And everything, but right. It'd be an actual, like, you know, sports coat type. Yeah. Yeah, I did see Charlie Isaacs when he came to Megan Brodkey's funeral. He wore his typical suit like he usually does, but all of the Ohana folks that traveled to be there all wore Trailblazer hoodies in her memory. And so he had his Trailblazer hoodie on and zipped up and then his blazer suit jacket on over top of that. So you can do both, I suppose.
I really miss Megan.
Yeah. Such a special person she really was. We've talked before on the podcast about the ripple effect of one person's idea or action or attitude or mentorship and the way that that can really just have a long lasting and far reaching impact. And Megan is a shining example of that. And something that we can all take from having known her or having known about her is to be that ripple and make a positive impact in the community. Right? That's how she lives on. So not to get too down this early in the podcast, but so we'll pivot a little bit. And Christian, I don't feel like I know a whole lot about your journey to Salesforce. I know you work for Capgemini as a Salesforce consultant with them, but and I know that you come from very proud military background. You know, shout out to the Salesforce military family. But I don't know a whole lot about the journey in between those two milestones. Care to enlighten us a little bit?
Definitely. So Christian started off, he left the military. So in 2009, I started going to school. After school, you know how I got my first job after school? I got into the IT industry by being the person that wrote notes. I did not have experience in the IT background in the military at all. So I wrote notes, I followed around the help desk, and that's how I got the job. The manager that was over there, he noticed and he said he decided to give me a challenge. Go clean that server room, completely trashed, everything, everywhere. And I went in there by myself with a broom. I cleaned up every single thing in that stock room, server room, completely clean, mopped it and everything. And he didn't ask for any of that. That's how I got my first job. They really wanted me because I could do anything and everything they asked me to without questions. So within that job, I lasted 7 years. And in that 7 years, I went from IT help desk to asset management, handling the hardware and the software part of the industry. And then all of a sudden, a manager told me about Salesforce. I was like, Salesforce, that's interesting. Let me check it out. Started checking it out. I started going to community events. And then one person, shout out to Sean Lee here in Florida. I still see him around every now and then. He's the one that told me about VetForce at the time, Salesforce Military. Once I saw the community for the military, I was heads on, hands down, like, that's it. This is what I want to do. I want to do Salesforce. Got my first certification, left that company. A little mistake I should have learned from. I should stay and grow in that company. Learn utilizing the software. Well, I left that company to go to the consulting company, which is Rising Star with Chuck. Yancey was there as well. We became friends before in Florida Dreaming, and I contacted Yancey. Yancey, do you want a job? Yes, let's go. So that's how I got my role into the Salesforce, with moving away from Florida right after I got married too. Nobody even knew that. I got married in 2018, 2019. I moved to DC to find my Salesforce role. 2019, I was there. We were doing CPQ, learning the ins and outs, being an end user, helping out with the accounting side, doing anything and everything. Marines, military could do anything. We figured it out. After I finished there, August of 2019, came back down, and I have another friend that gave me another opportunity to get into the Salesforce ecosystem. That is Donald Borich. Shout out to Donald Borich. He gave me another opportunity where we worked on multiple different clients that he had, and I was helping out. I was his go-to. I need you to do this with Agile. What was it? The scope of work. All right, I'll figure it out. I never done it before. I'll figure it out. Let's do it. Did that. We're setting up Salesforce for this company completely from scratch. Okay, let's figure it out. Let's do it. But he, obviously, the mentorship, he helped me along the way. And I'm really appreciative from the community.
I love your story, Christian, because the community is how you got your job, and you, from day one, immediately started paying it forward and giving back. That, you know, you mentioned Yancey in there, and he's been a guest on the podcast before, and he got his first Salesforce longer term role through you introducing him to Chuck Rickwall and Rising Star. So it's the, you know, Yancey was out and about speaking at the events and didn't even have a job, right? But it was the community helped you and then you helped the community, and it just, you know, the cycle continues and we all get better because of it.
Oh, and Yancey paid back that cycle by getting me into Capgemini and then leaving me by myself over here.
I think that's the key critical piece, though, of all those dreaming events, and probably one of the reasons that I invest personally in going to them. It's just, I mean, it's the people. You know, I would love to think that people hire us because we're so smart and we know so much stuff, but I don't know about you all, but I don't think that I have ever gotten a job just based on my merit. I think it was always somebody knew somebody and I got a call. I mean, the work that I'm doing right now, that's literally what happened over 7 years ago. You know, a friend knew me, a friend knew, you know, the company, and they called and like interview, and I did. And I don't know, when I'm mentoring, that's what I always want to do, is make sure people go to your local community groups, you know, get online and go to the virtual community groups, get to know people, let them know you. All things considered, wouldn't you much rather hire somebody you already know and like? You know, if everybody had exactly the same qualifications, you know, and you knew somebody and you liked them, or you didn't know somebody and you didn't know what their personality was like, which one would you hire?
Yeah, well, it's human nature to navigate towards people that we know, that we connect with. Yeah. Which speaks to the importance of intentionally diversifying your feed so that you don't fall into having a company or a team that's all people that look and think just like you. But your point about networking and connections is absolutely valid.
And I have two more shout outs to give, but these are communities. So Salesforce Military, they have provided the way, they gave us the training that we need in order to learn Salesforce and be exemplary, and also Merivis. I cannot forget my family, Merivis. I really appreciate being in that family, really appreciate mentoring other people that are following our footsteps.
And they've been so welcoming even to me, and I mean, the closest thing I have to a military, any kind of thing, is, you know, my dad was in the National Guard 100 years ago, but they have been so welcoming, and I have loved getting to know the folks in that group of people. I presented with Kate one day this week on doing the V2 mom, you know, for personal reasons, right? And Kate was so good, and the military folks who showed up were so good. I'm always jealous. And I'm like, where are Stacy and Yancey and where's Steph Herrera? And I'm like, oh, they're at the military thing. And I'm like, okay, fine.
And that's Kate Stoker you're talking about, the co-founder of Merivis. Absolutely.
Right. But, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the work that she does is incredible. I was really happy to be able to be added late in life to the Salesforce Military family. And even as a military spouse who was not a spouse at the time that my partner served, they've been very welcoming to me. But just like with women in tech, right, or you know, any other underrepresented group, we need allies also.
A good shout out though, Christian, I'm glad you said that, because there are so many affinity groups, right? I mean, you probably don't just fit in just one, kind of like we did with Food Force, especially during the pandemic, and we still have a pretty strong core group of people that we talk a lot about what we've cooked and what we're cooking, and, you know, post those pictures and interestingly, right, you know, and get to know people that way. Right. Just because it's a common, we just happen to all be Salesforce adjacent and enjoy cooking, or at least enjoy eating. And
I do enjoy eating. I love that. And we all love podcasting. Right. And stories. And I think, you know, everybody knows everybody that's likely to be listening to this, and certainly the three of us here, know the story of how Campfire Stories came to be. It was out of that desire for the community that, in a time when I wasn't able to go to as many Dream Interregional events, I did go to Dreamforce. And that year, it went from Dreamforce was in September one year, and then not till November the next year. So it was a big, long gap. And I just realized how much I missed, like ached for the community. And like you said, Melissa, it's the people. I mean, I love the inspiration. I love the thought leadership. I love all the technical things, the roadmaps, the, you know, new dreaming of things to come, but it's the people is really what it's all about. And that's where I started, you know, striking up conversations. Tell me about your journey. How did you get to Salesforce? How has Trailhead helped you? What hurdles have you overcome? You know, and it's, here we are. I don't even know, I'm trying to do the math in my head, five plus years later, because that was the very beginning of 2018 is when Justice and I had our very first episode, was January of 2018. And while we've had our gaps and, you know, changes in guests and format and logos and, you know, co-hosts and everything, the message and the intent is still the same, that we want to hear people's stories because we are better whenever we share our stories. We're better when we learn from others. We're better whenever we, you know, reach out and share our vulnerabilities. And these stories matter, and the people behind them matter. And the people that hear them and are impacted by these stories matter. And so, so I learned a couple of months ago that through Yancey, that a friend of ours was thinking about starting up a podcast, and that they wanted to connect with Salesforce Trailblazers and hear their stories and give a platform. And it really just struck me, and it's like, that's what Campfire Stories is about, but it's down to smoldering embers, right? I have to use the fire analogy. And yet I'm still fairly passionate about the mission and the why. And so obviously that friend was Christian, who was exploring where his next step in getting an outreach to the community might be, and if a podcast was right for him. And so he and I had a couple of conversations. And so I'm really excited to announce that I am stepping down as co-host of Campfire Stories, but my baby is in good hands and Christian is going to take over filling in my spot for Campfire Stories. So Christian, I can't think of anyone with a more genuine heart and desire to help Trailblazers. And I know that this podcast is going to do great things and help tons of people in your hands. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I want to do, Stacey. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you giving me the avenue to continuously keep on helping out people. The whole purpose of new people coming into the ecosystem, how do they get into their Salesforce roles? And we're going to help them. We're going to get in contact with awesome people that have already done this, give little secrets here and there. Hopefully I could have still Stacey to come onto the podcast. Melissa, hopefully you could come onto the podcast as well. And you'll still be here, hopefully.
We hope, right? I'm so excited though, Christian, because you will bring a completely different mindset. If there was any one challenge probably with Stacey and I doing this together, is that sometimes we think too much alike, right? And as much as we love the community, that's not always a good thing. I mean, you've heard me speak before and how important I feel like diversity is for innovation, for all the things that we want to do at work, and even for me and my private life, you know, and the nonprofit work that I do, that it takes innovation. And so you're going to be that innovative human. You've got skills and talents and gifts that are different than mine are, that are different than Stacy's. And so I'm super excited to see how that changes and what improvements are made. I mean, the podcast will always be wonderful. And the stories, like I say, they're the best, the very best thing about Salesforce or the people's stories. But to have you do that now, that's really exciting. So I'm like, yay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will come on the show anytime that you would like, Christian. You know, I have no problem talking a lot.
I don't think any of us do, right? That's the... And podcasts are such a great way for... Because I never expected to meet so many introverts. And there are so many people in the ecosystem who are introverts. I mean, do you consider yourself an introvert, Christian?
I struggle with that. So I do consider myself an introvert. I like my work to speak for itself. Instead of me boasting and posting my certifications that I received, the other things that I've done, I want my work to speak for itself.
I love it. So you're really going to, that's an avenue you'll give that, I don't know, as a disturbingly extroverted person, you know, that's a completely different mindset that you'll have. So I think that's important because we do, I haven't done the math, I haven't done the statistics, but I would be willing to bet you that introverts far outweigh the number of extroverts in the Salesforce ecosystem.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. And yet so many things are geared towards extroverts. Mm-hmm. And we're frequently the loudest voice in the room, so I understand why. I did a session at Witness Success last year because I found myself, I kept thinking about how much I gain and benefit and all the values that come from me not only attending but participating in these events like Witness Success, Midwest Dream, and Florida Dream, and so forth. And I felt like I wanted to help build a path for people who are introverted or shy or reserved or whatever, however they relate, that aren't the outgoing, rambunctious, loud type. I wanted to make sure that they had a way to receive the benefits of networking at events. But I can't speak to that. I'm not that person. I was at one point, but I'm not that person right now. And so I kept pestering people, Gene Moeller and others. I'm like, hey, you should submit a session on this. And although Gene did submit another session and it got selected, I got blamed for a lot of the speakers last year at Witness. But we ended up where I submitted the session to facilitate a panel. And we brought on three different people who all identify as being reserved or shy. And so then I was able to do all the, you know, the banter and the whatever, the extroverted loud stuff, and had them answer questions to be able to speak. And it went over, it was really well received. And then the fun thing was that Ben Balipu was there and he decided to share the story of when I first got into the Salesforce ecosystem, how almost cripplingly shy I was. And, you know, my first time trying to approach him to talk to him and was so intimidated by these legends around me. And so it was a good flashback to remember where I started. But anyway, the panel was a great opportunity. So like you said, the podcast is also another less intimidating, you know, speaking at maybe just your local user group, like, you know, little baby steps to slowly spread your wings.
That was something I didn't realize during the pandemic. There were so many people I got to know virtually and via Twitter and conversations like this. And then when I met them in real person, I didn't realize that they were extroverts. I mean, I never imagined because they didn't come across that way. You know, they were so friendly and welcoming. And so to get to an event like TDX and for them to say, no, I need to go rest for a while and be by myself for a while to recoup and recover. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, all right. I mean, it's a good thing, but I mean, that's how, you know, what statistically, I think they say the difference in introverts and extroverts are that introverts need that quiet alone time to recharge. And extroverts recharge being with people. So that was, you know, my horrible thing during the pandemic was being by myself so much. I just sucked so much energy out of me. But I love this. More introverts.
And the way I did that in 2019, I happened to go to Dreamforce, luckily through Salesforce Military, and I overbooked my schedule. So I was left and right and not really connecting with the people that were there. And I wish I could go to Dreamforce again. That way I could do it a different way on my own terms.
That's does that do you like the smaller community events, Christian, for that reason? Is that easier for you to make connections and
No, I like all the events. It's just work doesn't allow me to take that time to go to all the events.
right.
I wish I could just work whenever I want and then go to events. Eventually, I'll get there.
I would do the same thing. But I do love those,
Yeah.
the smaller ones. Florida Dreamer was particularly special.
Yeah. And Krishna did the same thing my first Dreamforce that I had every minute of every day planned out. Did not account for near enough time for travel, nor for me to get lost and then have to refind my way. And then actually I did a couple of Dreamforces like that because I just thought it's so expensive if my company or someone is sponsoring me being here. I want to get as much as I can out of it and bring it back to share. So I felt that was my responsibility, my duty, you know. And then after a couple of years, I did one where I swung the pendulum in the other direction. And I don't think I attended three sessions the whole week. And it was all just nothing planned by the, you know, spur of the moment, whatever here and there. And I left not as fulfilled that in that way either, because I didn't feel like I got the learning. Like it was great to get to see the people and do the stuff, but I wasn't, you know, learning and bringing stuff back. And so, and then I had another way where I went a whole different direction, and I like over volunteered so that I had two, three, or more events every day that was volunteering, and that was great, but I was ex a whole different kind of exhausted at the end of it. And so this past year, I feel like I finally have found the balance of the social, the learning, and the giving back. And it was a job leading up to Dreamforce to plan properly and to know my own limits, right? Like if I need to walk from one building to another, I am going to get lost or distracted when I see somebody or something shiny along the way. Like it's just going to happen. So I got to build those plans in and
How
give
many
myself grace.
Dreamforces was that?
Oh, I have been to every Dreamforce since 2014.
So I need that many Dreamforce experience then.
Well, you can't really count 2020 because it was all virtual, and 2021 was different as well. It was just the intimate, you know, a few
So
hundred
good though.
people.
It was so good.
It was good. It was different,
It
but it was
was.
good.
But don't you think every one of them has been different for one reason or another? I mean, there's no two that are just alike.
It's true.
They're
It's
really
true.
not. Even the community events, that's true. You know, because people change, different people are engaged. I don't know. I like it. It's interesting. It's different every year. I'm interested to see what Florida Dream is going to be like in, you know, Clearwater Beach instead of in Orlando.
Really great. And I have to put in a plug for Witness Success, which I'm on the committee to help plan. It is the only US-based event geared towards women in tech and their allies. So I think that Witness is different from most Dream events in that while there is about 20, 25% of the tracks will be the sessions will be technical flows and BA best practices and so forth. The vast majority is on professional development, like negotiating your salary, rocking a demo, you know, resume tips, and also on personal development. So, you know, just finding peace in the midst of uncertain times, or maybe planning for your final estate, right? There's all kinds of really cool submissions that have been session ideas that have been submitted. And so, you know, you can submit up through the end of April, actually. So if you're listening to this, And we are in Minneapolis in August, right after Midwest Dreamin', which is at the same conference, same city. Midwest Dreamin' is Wednesday through Friday morning, and then we pick up at lunch and carry through end of day Saturday. And then Midwest Dreamin' is the largest of the U.S. Community-led events. So it's going to be a great, great week to be in the Twin Cities.
And is this the last year you all are going to be in Minneapolis, or is there one more year?
It's the last year that we're committed to Minneapolis. We are, the committee is currently evaluating, scouting out locations for next year. Right? Meow, actually.
Excellent.
So we will be ready to announce the 2024 Witness Success dates and location by the time we have Witness Success 2023. Have to think about what year it is, right? Because it's bizarre. We're in the mid-20s. Yeah, it's crazy.
We can't talk about that, Stacey. I told Mitch today, I said, I think my warranty has expired. I think you need to trade me in.
Oh, your warranty on yourself? Oh,
yes.
That's terrible.
You know, when you just start, everything starts falling apart. You know, isn't that like the day after the warranty expires, your car just like disintegrates? I think that's where I am personally right now.
Oh, Christian's a long way off. He has no idea.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Christian has been house hunting. That's been an adventure.
It has been an adventure.
So
being
how
the first-time home buyer.
How is the market? I mean, you know, because we went through that whole craziness during the pandemic when houses were ridiculous and...
The market is still crazy. The market is still expensive now. Interest rates are going up. And it's a frenzy. It's here in Florida, everybody wants to move here for some reason.
Too hot. It's hot in Alabama. I don't want to go any farther south.
Well, the Caribbean's nice.
That's a different story. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should go back to the Virgin Islands.
Yes.
Yes. I am down for that.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
We just had to put sunscreen for Mitch this time.
Right. It is on UNC's honey-do list to plan a vacation for us this summer. So we'll see where we end up. Everybody listening, feel free to send him ideas and suggestions so that we end up someplace really amazing.
You need to just go to Europe. You know, there's a whole... In fact, the European communities and Salesforce have a whole month of fun things planned, starting off with architect dreaming in Prague, followed by Czech dreaming the day after that. And then there's London's calling and you're dreaming and you're leading, and then the London's World Tour. And that's all like in a 1 month time span between the end of May and the end of June. So you could spend a month in Europe, do 3, 4, 5 events. We all work remotely, right? You can work from anywhere.
Yeah, and you're going to sponsor our travel expenses.
Are you kidding? I'm probably still paying for last summer's. But Ohana is Ohana. So wherever you go.
That is very true. Whenever you want to come to Florida too, Ohana is Ohana here.
That's right.
We'll be there in October.
Hey. Salesforce Saturday at the beach.
Ooh.
That does sound lovely.
Sand and
you guys do that every Saturday? How often are y'all meeting up, Christian?
We do it about once a month. We do Salesforce Saturday for Lauderdale. So recently we did one 2 weeks ago where we started getting into ChatGPT, and we were all putting prompts in there and asking it questions, and a lot of new people that were there, they were interested and wrote down a lot of notes. I was like, you don't have to write notes. It's all out there. You just ask it questions.
That's the reason really cool. I'm not going to have to learn Apex, right? I'm going to let ChatGPT do it for me.
You still got to learn Apex because you have to learn best practice.
Good answer. Good answer. ChatGPT isn't going to take your PD1 exam.
Because y'all know I'm not going to write Apex code. I say that, and I do have one little piece of code that's actually in our product, but that was frustration at its finest. In fact, you were talking about Rob Cowell earlier, Stacy. You know, he's had some interesting things to say about the ChatGPT. And I'm interested, of course, they announced it at TDX that, what are they? They're not calling it Einstein GPT, are they?
It is. Yeah, Einstein GPT.
And of course, demoed it, which, you know, my understanding is it doesn't actually exist yet. But it was great because they were showing it, helping you compose an email. And sometimes that's the hardest part, is just getting started. So I'm like, oh, that'd be so awesome. You know, especially if it would look at the way that I talk, you know, have my voice. I think that's the hard thing, right? How do you train it to have either the company's tone and voice and brand, or your own personal tone and brand? And then how does it react to people? Because there are some people that prefer a more formal interaction. Or some people are like, hey, what you doing? You know, I mean, even an email, right? So it'll be interesting to see who's training them. I have my thoughts on that. But are you helping train GPT? Is that what you're doing, Christian, by experimenting with all these things?
Everybody is.
I know.
Helping train GPT.
So we need to encourage more women and more diverse groups of people to at least ask it questions, right? Because it seems like there's one specific group of people that have been training it thus far. When it gives you an answer in a very definitive tone and will brook no argument and acts like it couldn't possibly be wrong. That doesn't sound like anybody we know, does it?
No, you remind me of Melissa. I know you and my brother connected online, and his thesis, his master's that he got, a couple of years ago was on the unconscious bias of even like search engines and the Dewey Decimal System and things that we think we just take for granted that they're, systemic and therefore impartial. But anything that's programmed or built or designed by flawed, biased people are going to carry those biases into their systems and their designs.
So how do we encourage that? What's the best? And I admit to being an AI novice. I mean, I can't even begin to wrap my brain around how you create that. But now that it is created and I don't have to create it, how can we better help train it?
Good question. We should ask that question into ChatGPT.
Yeah, right?
Well, because you think it's almost like public service, right? If we all help train it, you know, if it takes a village to raise a child, then, and I'm so grateful for the village that's helped raise mine, but I mean, AI is like the whole world's child, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what Christian's doing is right on, that that we need to talk about it. We need to demo it. We need to play with it. And when you're in a space that is going to be doing that training or demoing or just digging in deeper, be sure that you are actively seeking out those typically underrepresented groups so that they are right at the forefront of learning and exploring and thus providing input and helping to train it. That this can't be one of those things that one demographic just runs over and does. It really does. We have to intentionally reach out a hand and pull in those that often get overlooked.
I say that all the time, because if we're not intentionally inclusive, we can wind up being unintentionally exclusive.
Yeah.
So you're right. I can imagine what our next Amplify coffee chat is going to be about.
I like it. Well, and you've given me some ideas also that the Louisville user group, there's a couple of other code or IT or women in tech organizations in the Louisville area that aren't Salesforce specific, but we could look at doing a group learning activity where we pull in people and we talk about Einstein GPT and ChatGPT and Bard, the new AI from Google, right? So just pull in a couple of different tools and talk about them. And maybe even could be cool to compare results if you ask the same prompt to all three. How are they going to differ in their feedback?
Right, because so that's true. I mean, if Christian asks ChatGPT something and I ask ChatGPT something, are we going to get different answers? Is that bias already built into ChatGPT?
Okay, there's some exploring to do.
There is.
I'm really good with questions. I'm not always great with answers.
Awesome.
But they break it down for you. So, and if you don't understand, you could break it down even more.
All right, so I can see one of Christian's first guests might be a ChatGPT guru that can help break down how to break it down for these AI machines. And I can't tell you how many times I keep picturing Jerry Maguire in it. Help me help you, help me help you. And I keep just picturing that in my head when I think about these AIs. Like, I need the AI to teach me how to teach it, how to teach me. But yeah, so there you go, Christian. So some ideas.
Have you paid for the updated version? The more, I don't know what you pay for when you pay for chat. The GPT.
I have not paid for the updated version, but if you do pay, you have more resources allocated to you, where the prompts come to you faster, and you don't have no limitation either. There is a limitation. Of if you keep on asking it prompts, it's going to ask you, is like, please try this again an hour later.
Right.
Or you could get blocked and then all this, and you cannot get in until the not too many people are on the platform.
I have that happen a lot, that, you know, we're overworked or whatever right now, and there's no room for you to get in here. So, because I have actually used it. I had it help me write an initial outline for a marketing plan. Because again, you know, if you've got that outline, then you can adapt and change and do as you want. But I just wondered. I don't know anybody that has yet. Do you? Anybody that's actually paid for it?
I have not. Not yet.
Well, that's a great call to action. So if you happen to be listening to this podcast and you want to come on and speak about these AIs, or especially if you have invested in, the paid version or invested in other ways, I suppose, then reach out to us on the podcast. So the podcast can be found on Twitter at SF Campfire. We are also on LinkedIn. I think that's just Salesforce Campfire Stories. Or you can reach out to our brand new co-host, Christian. What's the best way to reach you?
You can reach out to me via LinkedIn, Christian Estevez, or through Twitter, C_Estevez3. That's my Twitter handle.
Awesome. And then Melissa is also available on all the socials.
As Melissa Hildes everywhere. Except maybe Mastodon.
And then I'm most easily accessible on Twitter. I am Tweets by Stacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that wraps it up for this very exciting. I think we hit just about every emotion. I laughed. I teared up a little bit. And certainly learned a few things. So welcome to the Campfire Stories family, Christian. And I'm really excited to see what is to come in chapter 2 of the story. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us at the virtual campfire. We will see you here next time.